thank you very much for being here. I'm Iwi. I am product manager for Keycard. I'm going to give a quick introduction to what is Keycard, and then Andrea and Michele, which are two of the lead developers for Keycard, are going to be in a hands-on approach to Keycard. So this is supposed to be a very hands-on workshop. You can get your computers ready. We have keycards for you. We have readers. We are less readers than keycards, so if they are not, we distributed 14 readers to plug to your laptop. If there's not enough, you can group maybe. Quick introduction to what is keycard, very quickly, and then we can get onto the hands-on workshop. So, keycard. So this is keycard. Very simply put, it's a BIP32 hierarchical deterministic hardware wallet on a smart card. So it's a framework that we've developed. It's open source and it's running on Java card. What it's not a simple NFC tag that you would use as a QR code or as an encrypted data that you get through NFC. It's actually a small computer. Keycard is an applet that runs on there. It's open source, so you can check it, you can audit it, you can tweak it every way you want for your own application. And it runs on very standard hardware. Actually, all of you here, you have a Java card on yourself right now, most probably, because every Visa card are running on Java card, and your SIM cards in your phones are Java cards too. So the hardware are very common. There are a lot of manufacturers for this. One of the consequences is that it's relatively inexpensive, since there are millions of smart cards produced. And it has a very high level of physical security, meaning it would be very expensive physically to get private keys out of this smart card. The key card we are providing here, and the one we produce in Stardust, that we've integrated with our Stardust client, has two types of interfaces. It's both contactless with NFC, so that it can integrate with either Android or iOS mobile applications. It's also got a physical interface like that, meaning you can, with the USB readers that we've distributed, connect it to a desktop application. So that's keycard. What can you build with keycard? To sum it up quite quickly, keycard applet. It's a hardware wallet, so you can either generate a secret within the card, or you can import a secret. Let's say this secret is a seed, then you can make any derivation following BIP32 on this seed within the card, and then the card is doing the signing signature, ECDSS signature of the transaction that is being passed to the card. So your application is passing, once it's set up and the secrets are here, they never leave the card. And your application is passing a transaction, actually it's the hash of the transaction, and the card is doing the signature and passing to the application the signature. That's what it does. Why does it have added value to Salesforce security, obviously? It's air-gapped, it's offline, that's an hardware wallet, your private keys never leave. And within your application, it provides, the other thing is provide ownership of the private keys to the end user. This is tangible, the private keys are here and nowhere else. So it really puts the user in responsibility of his keys. And in terms of application, obviously, we can think about a lot of things. Most of you are hardware wallets. If you've got a mobile hardware wallet or desktop hardware wallet, mobile or desktop wallet, this can be used to store the keys. For identity systems, this card is very convenient to hold the identity of a user, or for any authentication system. So that's what's keycard and what you can build with it. So we'd like this to be hands-on. For those who just arrived, you can get some keycards. And to connect them to your PC, you need some USB readers. We've already distributed some. And if there are not enough, maybe you can group if possible. Who needs a key card?
Thanks.
So you can, I mean, if you...
The real ones?
Sorry?
The real ones?
Yeah, you need to plug it in a reader. We distributed about 15 readers. Who has a reader? Maybe you can make small groups of 3 or 4 people. Maybe we can, yeah, in the room, group a bit.
Anyone know the Wi-Fi?
The Wi-Fi password?
We can give away this one. And we're in there, but not
Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi password.
Is there Wi-Fi working?
I think it's a normal Java, generic Java.
Yeah.
I don't know about this.
We can work as a group.
Yeah. So you might need 2 things. So key cards, we've got tons of them. Everyone can get one. Then, let's make small groups with USB readers. Who is without a USB reader?
Without.
Okay.
It is still one.
Still one here.
It's bigger than the other one.
Okay.
There's one more here. If you like,
wait,
do you
have one over there? Yes. Put over here. Yes, you can have one. You have one, cool. Okay, let's try to find one for over there. We don't have enough.
Thank you.
I don't know how, is the Wi-Fi working?
Because we you need to download the two things.
Okay, I can check, but it's a few. Okay, so what's my address? I'm gonna get this party now.
Yeah,
Wi-Fi is
a
nice. Okay,
so
over there, do you wanna...
So this is around 6 megabytes.
And the
If you want to, so are you able to download at least the 2
release of the first 2 links? Because it's a nice thing.
Well, otherwise
we
can continue and
why the card is secure? So we already explained that the card was a very high level of hardware security, which means these chips are made only for the purpose of storing secret information and computing signals, basically, for encryption between from, but basically to verify identity and things like that. So company that make these chips, they invest everything in exploring all possible attack ways and mitigating some of the attacks such a way that attacking a card costs millions of dollars. The keys never leave the card, so when you are signing with the actual wallet, the signature is computed on the card. So it is actually a small computer, not very powerful, but very optimized for this task. And the communication between the card and the device that you're using is encrypted. This is a protocol that we implemented above the standard communication protocol, because the use case of this kind of cards is usually to use with trusted device like point of sales or phone. But in our case, you can use it with any device. So we have a layer of encryption on top, which protects from many in the middle attacks. Even if they are quite hard to carry out, this kind of attacks can be avoided anyway. And it also prevents random devices sending commands to the card. I mean, it has a pin, for example, and if you send three times the wrong pin, it blocks the card. It would be inconvenient if anybody would block your card. So if you are not authorized to even send commands, you cannot block the card at all. So what are the steps to work with the keycard? So there is the applet installation. This one is done in factory. When we ship a blue keycard that you show, the applet is already installed. When the applet is installed, it doesn't have any secret, it doesn't have a pin, it doesn't have a puke, and it doesn't have the pairing code which is needed for the encrypted channel. So it's really blank. And then there is the initialization phase, where you don't still create a wallet, you just define your own pin, puke, and pairing code within this way, so we don't have to handle the problem of the pin to be shipped in a separate envelope or a scratch code which can be, at the end, it can be read. You do it yourself on your device and you're safe. Then there is the key generation step, and this can happen in different ways, because of course we want people to be able to import PAP39 seed phrase or already existing keys. You can load the key, a seed, binary seed, or you can even load just the key pair, even with chain code or without. And then you can start signing transaction. Signing transaction is something that you can do only after you authorize with a PIN. So this means the card has a PIN, like a regular ATM card. When you want to sign, you need to insert the PIN and the card receives the hash of the transaction, not the entire transaction, because it doesn't make, it's not very efficient first, and second, the card doesn't have a screen to show you the value, so it doesn't make even sense. And then you get the signature back, and the device you use can submit this to the net. So that's basically it. So maybe Andrea, now.
Okay, so as we said, the keycard is a dual interface. So, you can use it with NFC, and it's maybe the best way to use it, because you can use it with your mobile, implement an application with iOS and Android, and it's easy, like you just need to tap. Right. You just need to tap, and it's easy to use. Otherwise, it's also contact. So we distribute now the USB reader, and you can just use it also with a laptop. And we released like the Java, so for Android SDK some months ago already. In the last weeks, we developed the iOS, so Swift SDK, because with the newest iOS 13, it's possible like to send a PDU.
Hello.
Can you hear me? So before iOS 13, it was impossible to send all kinds of APDU, so all the comments that you needed. And now it's possible. So I think the first application that was really support the keycard is Gnosis, that was released yesterday, Gnosis Safe, and it's integrating like the keycard as a two-factor authentication. So it's cool. Thanks to them, because they had with the development. So now, if you want to try something, maybe doing something mobile,
would be longer because we need to develop something for mobile, compile it and deploy it to the phone. So we also developed this Kika CLI, so we can basically try to use it and see basically all the commands that you can use to interact with the keycard from scratch to signing the signature and signing the transaction. And then basically the same concept, you can apply them to a mobile application. So I don't know if you was able to download these two things that I was saying before. So the first one, so this is the keycard applet. And it's basically the software that is running on the keycard. And it's open source, it's here, status.im slash status keycard. And then the CLI says it's written in Go, and you can... And this one is the CLI of saying it's written in Go, but you can you can download the release here. Then I was saying if you use Linux, you need to install and run the PCSC-D demo, which is basically, which allows you to interact with the protocol. And nothing, so if you now use the USB and use the card, you can run, let's say here.
But one spare USB reader, if someone wants to type the comments.
The one. Do you all have a keycard? There are more here if you want. If you want to have two, three.
Someone wants to carry around the comments live and with a keycard and the reader.
Okay, so if you have the PCSC demo running and you install the and you downloaded the keycard command in CLI, you can just run keycard info, and you basically know like something about the card that you inserted into the reader. So there are a few things that you can see here. So it says if the applet is already installed, if it's initialized, there are other things that we'll see later, but it's not installed yet. So we can use all the keycard install tool command, or we can use also, okay, so you can use the keycard shell command, and you can just pipe or redirect a list of commands. And in this specific case, there's a list of like APDU commands that are needed to install the applet. So when you receive the keycard, so the blue keycard that you can buy, the applet is already installed, so you don't need to do this. But if you are developing something for the keycard and you want to, you know, upgrade or reinstall the applet or, you know, do something else, you need this kind of commands so that you can reinstall everything. And another thing is that in a smart card you can also install multiple instances of the keycard. So it means that you can have like, I don't know, five different HD wallets, each one with a different master key, and then you just select a different one when you are interacting with the card. So in this case, if I run this, I also put like the bug here, and you can see all the APDU commands that are sent. So APDU commands are these bytes that are basically sent to the card. Each one is a set of like class bytes, instruction bytes, some parameters, and some data. So in this case, it's long because it's like uploading the applet, and after this, you basically have the smart card in the same state of the one that you receive when you buy one. So it's installed but not initialized, which means that it's ready to be used, but it doesn't have the master key yet. So if we run again, like the kicker default that we run before. So now it says that it's installed. I don't know if you can see. So now it's installed. It's not initialized, meaning there's no, it's not ready to be paired with a device. There's no key, so there's no UAD. And there's just a key that it's used like for the secure channel. So after this, are you trying something? So tell me if it's not working or feel free to stop and to see. Okay, so as I was saying, when you receive the card, it's not ready to, it's ready to be used, but you need to initialize it. And this means basically creating the secrets. So the secrets that you use to use it later. So in this case, so the first one is the PIN, the second one is the PUP, and the third one is the pairing password. So in this case, if you run basically with the same shell scripts, whatever I'm going to run this. All these scripts are in the Kicker CI repository, so if you want to use exactly the same in not in assets but in shell comments, you have all the scripts. There's one thing that I didn't say, that here in the install scripts, so the first one, that you need to install the updates. Still loading, so maybe we can just go and see here. Okay, so this one has a hard-coded like path to the card, so to the applet downloaded before, so you need to or change it or put it to the real path. So what is this? Okay, so let's see. Okay, so now I'm writing the second script. So this one is basically, so Kicker cell, so in here, if I go back to the install, you can see that there are some commands that are starting with GP, and other with Kicker. So GP is like the, means global platform, and it's this standard used to communicate with, I see.
It's the card manager application on the card, so it's the one that allows installing, removing applets from the card, and it's independent from Kicker. It's implemented in the card directly.
Yeah, so basically it's a standard.
It's a standard like, way to install
set applets. Of commands in general to interact with smart cards. And in this case, we use this because we are not interacting yet with the Kicker applet. And then we have some keycards, so starting with keycards commands that are basically just like replacing the X bytes code that you send. And in this case, like we are selecting the applet, so the keycard applet, because as we said, we can have like the keycard applet and then other applet, like the Visa applet or something else custom. And then we set like the secrets, so we can just, for testing, using this, otherwise you can just not specifying and they are generated random. And then Kicker init, which is initializing. So it's basically saying, okay, so starting from now, these are the secrets, and you can use this card only if you know the secret and if you pair with the pairing password, and you need to use the PIN for any signature, for example, and like this. So, okay, so after this, so the key card can be paired with five devices, five body. So it means that every time you want to interact with the keycard, you need to pair, and to be able to start the pairing commands, you need to know the pairing, this one, so the pairing password. And after that, you can call pair, then opening a secure channel, and then doing something. So this script is basically not doing anything. So it's pairing, opening the secure channel, and then unpairing. And I'm doing this unpaired just because otherwise I basically use one of the slots for the pairing, and then every time you use another one, and after five, that cannot be paired anymore. And then I'm just using verify pin because for some commands, we need to verify the pin, for example, before signing a transaction, or in general, for example, here before unpairing. So, of course, when you don't need to pair every time you use the kicker, for example, when you have a mobile application, you just pair the first time, and then with the pairing session, you are basically creating a key, and that key, you can store it in the phone, and you use it every time you commit the next time, like, you commit to the card. So it's basically once for each device that you want to pair. And so these are other scripts that you can run. So for example, this one is the number four. So I can run this. Four. And it's just getting the status of the card. Like the same thing that we had before. So if it's installed, if it's initialized and everything. And then you can see the pairing key, which is the one that we use to interact after the pairing session, and then the pin retry. So you can put the wrong pin three times. Otherwise, then you need to use the book to reinitialize the pin and everything. So if we at this point the key card is initialized. But it doesn't have a master key. So there's another command that you use, which is generate key. And this one is basically generating the key inside the card, and then which is basically the master key. There are other ways to have like a master key in the card. You can generate it on the card, or you can upload it, or you can upload, I think, the indexes of a BAP39 mnemonic phrase, and then the card is stored in the card, and then you can start using it. So, yeah, do you have any question? Also, like, if you have problems,
I'm curious about, is the key signing implemented in hardware? I would assume so.
Yeah.
Signing, yes, implemented in hardware.
So, adding a new type of signature,
it would be a problem because it's not even at the OS level that is implemented, but there is a special part of the chip which does the computation.
Yeah, so you have a chip with supporting this curve, with some curve, yes, because that was a problem, I think.
Yes, that means the chip
now, or this is a standard now, like every chip has this concurve in hardware.
All the chips on the market, they support the curves defined in the JavaCard specification. Uh-huh. And so they define the FP curves, like the SEC that we use for Ethereum, yes.
Cool. Because on the policy you don't have it, you know, on Android and iOS. That's the biggest problem, yes, because you cannot use the secure element for creating keys.
Okay.
On mobiles.
Okay.
That sucks.
Yes,
sucks.
Agree.
So don't change the.
That's why your card has a point, yes? Because the name of the same
card. No, it's related.
Does it support VLS?
No, because of the. I know, it depends, because, I mean. Does it need the pairing for signing, or is it only to verify, like the?
It
needs. Okay, so with this now, so it might be a problem. I mean, it depends the way you use it, because it depends. So
one day.
Yeah.
I'm curious about these other Java cards that you mentioned. Are they locked somehow? Would I program on my SIM card in the same way?
you get Andrea showed before this global platform commands. Something that didn't put accent is that there is also a sort of secure channel, and it has a key. The issuer knows this key, but you don't. So when they sell you the card, you don't know the key. So you cannot. But if you could, the card is actually not locked. So if you knew the key, you could really load or even remove the CMAP from the card.
Yeah, in fact, the one that we distributed now, so they have the test keys, so they are known. The one blue that you can buy, they have a different key, but it's still known. I mean, it's like the key card keys. But then, for the final release, maybe we would generate, random key, so that it's not possible to like reinstall or even flash it or things like that.
Or everybody will get their own key, so I wouldn't be able to mess with somebody else.
That's the idea that after initialization you change these keys on your device.
Yeah.
Have you guys experimented with JSON Unikey?
No, but I think they were doing something.
No, I was looking more into implementing, because actually the YubiKey uses the same protocol, so the same communication protocol. So actually, an implementation could be done for JavaCard, but porting this to the YubiKey hardware is something we need to test globally.
Another question is, for example, if I have an Estonian ID card or personal signing key from a government, do you know if it's possible somebody release software so put it on this card?
I don't know. So if you can use the same applet on that card, I don't know. If it's like something open source, or at least that you can download.
As far as I know, you can't extract the private key from the Estonian citizenship card. Like, the government knows it, but you can't get it from the chip.
Yeah, so the app can run, but you cannot port the keys.
So, is there a TSM platform?
It is a secure element, so it's basically what is used for TSM, for trusted computing.
And how to manage all these applets?
The applets are managed by the chips or by the module itself.
And the SDK, who will master this key?
The key, as we said, the key is fixed, so it's actually the user knows it. But then the user can change it, so they can change the key to load applets, so that nobody else can delete or install applets on their charts. So we don't want to manage this centrally on our side. We want that the user has the ability to load other applets and to what they want with the card.
You got a whole cable at the bottom of the mic. That's it.
Like this. Okay. Do you have any other question?
So,
okay, so now we can generate the key, so we can still use the shell command and use the script number 5. And it's basically doing the same that we did before. So it's selecting the applets, setting the secrets to be able to pairing, opening the secure channel, verifying the pin, so that, because it's like regenerating the key if it's already there. In this case, it was empty, so it's generating the key and then unpairing. So from this point, you can start like using it. You can start like signing transactions, signing data, and everything. So
one point is that the card actually has a true random number generator on board. So generating the keys on card is really secure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so these are there. Yeah.
Where does it get
the entropy for? It's in the chip. It's certified to generate real entropy.
Okay, I was just curious.
We know it's a secret. Okay, so now, now there's the Kickerstein comment, and it's basically accepting like 32 bytes of data, and the script is like sending an empty byte, and it's doing the same, the usual select, pairing, opening the secure channel, verify the pin because it's required before signing, and then unpairing. So if I use it, and then do this, so the output is giving me like the signature here, and the signature, so it's like probably 9+27 or something. Well, then there's a sign message, but which is actually implemented in the CLI, but it's not really on the SDK. And then there's another concept about the pinless path. So, as we saw now, every time you want to interact with the keycard, you need to know the pairing password. So for the first time you use it with a device, you can generate like the pairing key. And then every time you want to sign some data, you need to verify your pin. So that it's always something that you need to know. So that you are only, you know, the owner of the card and the only one that you can use it. So in general, you only use the key card with your own trusted device. We can set a specific path of the HD wallet that can be used with an untrusted device. So it's for many things, so you can be creative. So it can be like just to open the door here so that you don't expose any key that you are actually using for your with your other wallet, but you are still authenticating and doing like this. Or you can do something something like paying on a point of sale and with the risk of with all the risk that you can have, but you get an event or something like this, you can have just a few tokens on that path and you can just tap it on the untrusted device business. So the way you do it is like there is this set pinless path command, and to use it you need to, of course, pairing and verify your pin, and then you just pass like the path of the wallet that you want to use. And after this, so I can execute it so that it's, let me see if it works really. Okay, so after this, we set which path we can use with the pinless path. And basically what we can do is signing with the pinless path. So as you can see here, so the script is really two commands. So one is just selecting, and the other one is like signing something. And so the example is like using it for these other things. And nothing. Then there's another simple example about removing the key, and an example that is basically doing everything. And so this one is like just help. So if you are developing a mobile application that interacts with the keycard, the CLI can be useful so that you can easily like restore the. Initialize or changing the path and everything, and but then the main SDKs are basically the one for Android and the one for iOS, and they basically have the same common sets, and inside the status keycard Java, there's the package in general for Java and Android, and then there's a demo app that you can already compile, like in try in Android if you're Android here, or there's another one for iOS. And let's see here. So it's basically very similar. So the way it works is like a lot of Java code, and then you basically initialize a command set, and then you basically have the same command that we had before as a method of the command set, basically. So selecting, and then let's see if there's something that it's really same. So like pairing, and then getting the in retro account. So it's very easy to read. And it's basically, so in this demo, it's basically implementing everything you need to have, so it's easy like to copy and use it. Yeah, go.
Sorry, you mentioned iOS. What is the status of iOS NFC support? Is it?
Yeah, so let me also find the
I see. But 13 is opening up.
Yeah, it's not like
last
week. Yeah. Oh, they have a script. Okay, that's the next one. Yeah, so before, I think I have it somewhere here. I'm going to write this. Okay, this one. Okay, so we're saying, with iOS 13, which is the new one, they implemented everything. So they opened more API in the NFC core. So you can basically send and receive all the APDUs that you saw. So you can have a full interaction. And before that, it was like only reading the NDEF tag. So it was only for, you know, NFC tags that you can just store as well. Let's see here. There's here Kicker Swift SDK, and then there's an example application in the Gnosis repository, and the command set is basically the same, so you can check it, and it's basically implementing all the commands in the same way. And now, I don't know, I mean, we saw everything, so if you have questions, or if you want to play with card with the CLI, or if you want to, I don't know, install the demo app for Android and iOS and try to compile and deploy it, and we're here to help, and if you have more questions.
I think I will just pick up. So I missed the beginning of the presentation, sorry about that if it was already mentioned, but overall, how would a status key card compared to something like a Trezor One in security?
So, in general, compared to the other hardware wallets, so the key card has a very secure storage. It's the same secure, more or less the same secure element like the ledger. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the additional bar controlling the screen and the buttons because it doesn't have the screen and buttons. So it's a very secure storage. It is inexpensive, and it is a standard hardware. So one of the points is that we don't have a product to sell, and that is closed, so because I'm giving, even if it's open source with schematics, you still are not going to make it yourself. But these cards, you can find them. You see, we bought these white cards and we installed the applet. So there can be many issuers of this. There can be endless combinations with different features, multiple applets on the same card. So from a security point of view, it's the same basic of what is in a ledger, the same secure element. Of course, you don't have a screen and you don't have buttons, so it's a compromise. You have to trust the device. We solved this in part by implementing this secure channel protocol, which at least allows you to pair with a specific device that you want to use, up to 5, so you don't have random devices interacting with the card. The card has the advantage of being very practical, because every phone has an NFC reader. So compared to USB solutions, they can be also used, but it's not as straightforward. And it can be used also with USB card readers, which are also quite common to find, actually. So it is meant to be convenient and secure and affordable. So that's, I hope I answered your question.
And also for onboarding, because it's like something cheap that you can buy and, you know,
yeah, it's
give to
wire.
5 of your friends. So I mean, it's
for the physics. So sorry, something to add on the physics, on the security. So there's the software and the hardware itself. The software is fully open source, so it's, I mean, it can be audited. And the hardware, which is a secure element, is, I mean, these Java cards are usually certified. I mean, the hardware products, these ones are from NXP, for instance.
From whom?
NXP. Yeah, which is one of the main supplier of Java cards. They follow a certification program. This one is EAL 5 Plus certified. So that follows a list of tests to test the hardware security. How hard it is with a microscope, with side channels attacks to get the secrets out. So the hardware products themselves are qualified in the hardware security also.
I see. Yeah. Thank you.
You say it's expensive. How expensive?
How inexpensive is a car?
Yes, how much?
So it really depends. I mean, like we were saying at the beginning, these Java cards are produced by millions.
Yeah.
I mean, they are in every phone, every Visa card.
Yeah.
So they can be really inexpensive when you do volumes. I mean,
okay. The
question of the price is more depending on your relationship with your supplier.
Yeah.
But roughly, I mean, these things, when you manufacture a couple of thousand, you're a couple of dollars. I mean, you're below $5 for such a hardware.
Okay.
It's quite simple.
Is it possible to source different form factors?
Yeah, I mean, then usually there are these form factors, or they can be just a simple SIM card without the antenna for phones, but some suppliers do rings.
Yeah.
Some do things that you can attach to physical objects.
Yeah.
Then it's up to the guys that manufacture this.
If I can add to this, so this, the chip that is here behind, this is from one manufacturer, and the body of the car with the antenna is made by another manufacturer. So this can be even embedded in other electronic devices.
Okay, got it. Last question. I was late. Can I still have a reader?
We finished them. I don't think there are more.
Thank you.
It's okay.
Thank you very much.
So,
yes, thank you very much.
So, I still have a question.
I was just going to ask about manufacturers and like whether or not, like, where can I source these and like what kind of volumes?
There are different actors. First, you need to find a chipset provider, the guys that manufacture the chip per se. So they're not such a big number. This is NXP, Infineon,
NXP,
Electronics,
Samsung.
Yeah. So maybe, and then you need to find a manufacturer that's gonna do the process that Mikhail described, that buys this chipset and then put them in the physical card. And this type of supplier, there are hundreds.
Yeah.
Hundreds. I mean, our self-manufacturer with one in Europe, in France actually, but there are tons of guys that know how to create a card. And then the other thing you can consider is the level of security. Depending on what you download at the factory level in the card, the level of security you want in the factory. What we choose ourselves when we manufacture that is that there's not any secret in the card. I mean, we don't want to rely on the security of the manufacturer or the process. The cards are initialized with the phone.
Cool. Do you intend to publish any application to direct the card from the phone?
Yes, so it's the status client is implementing now the port for Kika, and there is also, so not status is from us, of course, and then there are third-party application which also integrates so Gnosis Safe and Wallet. Do you know? I think this one are released, yeah. And then there are people writing new stuff.
I still have a question. The color opening system, the cost. Do you know the cost divided by?
The cost of the operating system of the car?
The color operating system are developed by you?
No, the operating system is developed by NXP. Or I don't know, maybe NXP buys it from someone else, but they are shipped already on the chip.
Open source or not?
No. There is this thing. So the Java Card applet that we wrote is fully open source, and it can be installed on any Java Card, on any Java Card OS platform. But the specification of the chips are under NDA, and we don't even have them. You don't need it to use it. So all OS, they need the specifications, and so they are all closed source by default. I mean, there is no other way.
Can you use the PIN code without the secure channel for POS?
No, because we have thought that it's better to make pinless interaction with the point of sale, because the point of sale is untrusted. So if you enter your PIN, you are giving a secret to an untrusted device. So it's better to have a separate wallet which has little funds and you know it's cash money, and we are thinking about ways on how to mitigate fraud risk and things like this. But at least you don't give any secret. Because giving a PIN, maybe you are giving also a pattern to your other PINs, and that's risky.
Are there any such chips on the market or where in the world that are open source down to the lowest level?
Unfortunately not. I'm having a close look at the RISC-V initiative, because actually this thing is an ARM microcontroller with a secure storage and a few other hardware accelerator for cryptography. The cool thing, what makes this secure, why an ARM chip is not secure and this one is the topology of the transistor is randomized. So if you, it's obfuscated, let's say it so. So if you take a microscope and you open whatever, you decap a microcontroller, you can see exactly, okay, this is the RAM, this is the ROM. You open this one and you don't see anything. So I'm looking at the RISC-V initiative because it could be used at the basis, but there is a lot of development cost to bring the same level of security. So to make this really a secure element.
I see, thank you.
Can you import it?
Yes.
So you can import a key, but you cannot extract the key.
Correct.
Even with password, can you do a backup?
Even with password, there is a small, you can never export the master key, but
that's the master key generated on the card, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but for your Ethereum key, can you export it?
No, but if you have the seed phrase, you already have a backup.
Okay. You have a seed phrase outside of the card that, you know, defies the purpose. But you have an export function in the API for some.
Yes, I wanted to explain it. The export function allows exporting public keys and private keys, but only under a specific subtree. So yeah. It's a subtree which we have defined, we wrote the IAP, which should not be used to store any asset, but can be used for authentication or encryption in things off blockchain.
Yeah, but with this you could derive some restoration scheme, yes, if you can, okay, that doesn't matter.
You we are thinking
of your wallet, and you can export from one something that creates your key with some other piece of data.
There is a duplication system, but I think we are going to remove it, because actually the better way is probably to use a multi-sig wallet where you can just change the card associated with it.
With safe, it's really like you can just replace the key. You always have two, one somewhere, and
yes,
one in the card.
And
that's a great idea.
That's what we are going to do.
Finished.